Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another Ashes Daily unprecedented run we're on here. I'm Tony Kerr. Adam Bayfield is standing in a phone box on a pier, I believe.
Yes. That is literally true, Tane. Yeah, I'm on my lunch break and I was kind of walking through town, but it's very windy out today. And you were complaining that the quality wasn't good enough. And you're like, just improve it. But I've just seen a phone box, which apparently do still exist. So I've ducked in like Doctor Who and I'm just stood here watching the world go by, getting some strange looks.
I imagine people walking by will just see you sort of appearing to be sort of talking to yourself still in a phone box, which no one has used in about 15 years.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. Yeah, there's literally a policeman looking at me at the moment. So we'll see. We will see what happens if I get dragged off.
He's gone.
He's satisfied. Oh, I'm not up to anything too strange.
That would have been great for rating. So if you can...
I'll just open the door. Yeah, it's just the World Cricket Show, mate. Bayfield, yeah, that's it. Yeah, he gets it. He's fine.
He gets it. As you say, Adam, this is the World Cricket Show, and this is Ashes Daily. Back to look over another delightful and pleasurable day's cricket for England fans. Just to recap, then, where we're at. Australia resumed this morning, early this morning, and there were a few wickets. But then they added a few more runs to their total as well. Australia getting to 473 for 9 before they declared to give England a tricky sort of mini session under the lights in Adelaide. A bit of drizzle coming down as well, bit of thunder and lightning, which forced the players off in the end. But yeah, England, I don't know how to describe how they got to 17 for 2, but it wasn't particularly pretty. Two wickets fell. Rory Burns first to go, edging to Steve Smith in the slips off Mitchell Starc. And then Michael Neeser took his first wicket in Test cricket, getting rid of Hamid for 6. Milan and Root, the players at the crease when they went off in England with a lot of work to do, Adam.
Yeah, you text me to say, is this the worst start for England in an Ashes ever? Maybe it's easy to forget. I was thinking about the 2013 Ashes and that one being the one in Australia. I mean, that one maybe being worse, just a bit more sort of shocking and humiliating with Mitchell Johnson bowling 95 miles an hour and kind of, you know, ripping through England. But this one is up there, and in a sense, it's maybe the most depressing because it's just kind of like maddeningly predictable, isn't it? And also very frustrating that it's supposedly been 2 years at least in the planning this, and they've turned up with this bowling attack. And today it was just the same as yesterday, just very unthreatening all day. I mean, I feel a little bit bad because I know we're, and particularly me, are going in really hard on them. And firstly, there's a long way to go in the series yet. There's a lot of cricket still to be played and it's not over. And they actually didn't bowl badly, but it's just... they just don't have the weapons, do they? And you saw as soon as Australia started bowling, all right, it was under the lights and they were fresh and everything. But you know, Mitchell Starc, just with that extra pace, suddenly the ball is carrying to the slips. Like the number of times that the England bowlers found the edge, but it fell short of the slips. And it's like, oh, is there something with this pitch or these conditions or whatever? But Mitchell Starc, it's carrying a comfortable, very catchable height to Steve Smith off Rory Burns' bat. And so it's not necessarily that England bowl badly, it's just they haven't got the right team. That's easy to say. It's not like there's loads and loads of quick bowlers in England screaming to be selected, but again, it's like they've left out Mark Wood after the experience 4 years ago. They've still picked, you know, a five-man seam attack that are all bowling 80 miles an hour, and Chris Wokes, who is absolutely brilliant bowler in England, but we've seen time and again that he isn't that threatening outside of England, and it is just not the right guy for these conditions, is he? So just a bit, it's all just a bit frustrating. So I don't know if you can tell that I'm frustrated.
Yeah, I mean, there's just not much to kind of be excited about in any way at the moment. There was another wicket off a no ball, Ollie Robinson this time. It just feels like it's fallen away very, very quickly. As you say, as we said yesterday as well, you know, the planning that's got into it appears to either have amounted to nothing or has been just thrown up, you know, ripped up, you know, at the sort of first sign of panic. So, yeah, I don't know. I think cricket's, possibly English cricket's got a big problem on its hands at the moment. You know, if I was BT Sport, I'd be asking for my money back, because they're not going to have many people getting up early to watch it, are they? It's like, you know, you sort of build up the Ashes and then it's just one-way traffic. I mean, as you say, England could still come back and win this series 3-2. It could be an absolute classic, and, you know, I would love to see that happen. But
how much are you betting on that?
Well, yeah, very little, very little. But, you know, there's no way they win this game now. So it's kind of, it's on to the next one, isn't it? Probably, probably 2-0 down and thinking, like, what's the point?
Well, yeah, and then they've got to win all three to have any kind of chance. They've got to win all three. Otherwise, anything less than that, and it's Ashes over. I mean, yeah, I take your point about BT Sport. I think you're right. They probably are quite annoyed that it is all such one-way traffic. Although I suppose the one thing in their favour is, you know, there might not be any other sport taking place anywhere else soon. The Ashes might be the only thing left standing. But yes, it is. They might be feeling a bit shortchanged because it is such one-way traffic, and that, I don't know, I'd say that kind of felt predictable, didn't it? Hang on 1 second, sorry.
You got more police on your tail.
No, there's just people kind of gathered around. I'm just...
Someone wants to use the phone.
Yeah, there's a queue of people wanting to use the phone. because one thing I said that I've said a couple of times actually on here is that, you know, the Australian fans should want England to do well, and so like BT Sport are probably feeling shortchanged, and in my head Australian fans even might be feeling shortchanged, mm-hmm. because surely nobody wants to see a repeat of what we saw in Australia 4 years ago or 8 years ago, you know, another 5-0 or 4-0 with England just, you know, it's not competitive, it's not a contest with England nowhere. No one wants to see that, and in my view, even Australian fans shouldn't or wouldn't want to see that. Although, having said that on the podcast, several Australian listeners have got in touch to say that I'm completely wrong about that, and they would be very happy to see another 5-0. So maybe I'm way off the mark there. But it does seem to me that you just want a contest. It's just not fun. This is not fun. we've just got to hope for England to improve. And as I say, to be fair, they didn't bowl that badly, and it was a tough condition. It's a flat pitch. It's very hot. Ollie Robinson bowled really well. You know, he does need to improve his fitness, but again, it is 37 degrees. They bowled okay. They just don't have a spinner, and their bowlers are all bowling 80 miles an hour against Australian batsmen who know how to bat in these conditions, and that is not a problem for them. And the tactics as well. They were bowling too short. So, as you say, Tone, the planning does seem odd and confused, but they didn't necessarily bowl that badly. They just seemingly don't have what it takes to do what they need to do.
Yeah, quite. I mean, Joe Root should probably be paid twice as much as any other England player at the moment, because, well, he's bowled 20 overs and he's straight into bat as well, having captained for 150 overs in the field. You know, it's just sort of faintly absurd, isn't it, at this stage?
Yeah, it is absurd that he's in that situation. I mean, yeah, you're right, although I question some of the decisions that he's made, and also he the fact that England have gone in without a spinner and he's had to bowl that many overs, that presumably he was part of that decision too. And, you know, talking about the planning, like the decision to rest Mark Wood for this game feels like that was probably made 3 months ago, you know, that's what they would do. But actually, like they needed Mark Wood today. And yes, there's, you know, you want to look after him because he's had issues with his body and so on, and you want to kind of rest and rotate him through the series. But if England lose this game, which they're going to, the Ashes are basically gone, at which point, what are you saving him for? So, yeah, it's frustrating. I keep saying that, but it is really quite frustrating. And what with the batting, obviously a very poor start, 17 for 2. Do you think Rory Burns is in trouble now?
I don't know. I mean, there's just not much else to go to, is there? You know, there's still lots, you know, lots of chat about the bowling, but unless England can put on some runs, they've got no chance anyway, have they? So I don't know. Yeah. I mean, he did, to be fair, you know, it was a decent enough ball, and Stark,
he got a good ball, yeah.
And Stark in that kind of mood and that in that moment, you know, he's Stark's still an extraordinarily dangerous bowler. So there's kind of no shame in that. But yeah, I don't know. We're going to need something to find something somewhere or someone somewhere who can withstand that. Otherwise, got no chance of doing anything. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, Haseeb Hameed didn't play a particularly good shot to clipped it to mid on.
Yeah, we'll see what happens tomorrow. I mean, it's still good batting conditions, at least in the daytime. But England have spent a long, long time in the field now. There's an awful lot of runs on the board. There's an awful lot of pressure on them. And they're not very good at batting, as we established last week. So, yeah, it's not necessarily beyond them that they could dig in and post a score in response and maybe try and battle away to a draw. But it looks unlikely from this position, at which point you've got to say the Ashes are more or less done and dusted.
And it's not even... Yeah, I was going to say, Christmas isn't even in sight, really. Well over a week. I haven't even started my Christmas shopping yet. So, right, well, I suppose we better leave it there. We could talk all day, I'm sure. But there's a child who wants to phone his mum waiting outside the phone box. And I'm too. Better let him get in and make that.
Yeah, we'd better leave it there.
Yeah, we've picked the wrong series to bring back Ashes Daily, haven't we?
Yeah, you're right. Sorry. Also, Tane, I'm running out of 10p's, so we might have to call it a day there.
Right. Well, we'll do this again tomorrow. At which point, hopefully, there'll be something to cheer.
I wouldn't bet on it, but yeah. Talk to you then.
Also, well done, Australia. Yeah, have a good one, guys.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about them. We'll talk about them tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're all very pleased for you.
Well played. I'll see you later.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.